villages of Evandia, dressed in a riot of colors that dazzled the eyes of Stephen and his men after the drab, natural colors of the continent in winter. Stephen walked the length of the room, though he was aware that Darwin had stopped Karvik and the rest just inside the doors. Stephen walked to the base of the dais and went to one knee, but kept his head up.
"King Keelan,"
he began in a clear, strong voice that carried through the room, "they have returned from a successful trade mission to Karevia, Luxandia, Renedia, and Kavidia. We are in agreement as far as fair trade and taxes, in accordance with the instructions I received before I left in the spring."
"Indeed," King Kalim replied. "You are also in violation of your instructions not to engage in any combat."
Stephen bowed deeply.
"Your Majesty, I refrained from all but the most dire of circumstances. I only engaged in combat when I and my abilities were the only hope."
"What of the dragon in Renedia?"
Princess Elisan asked. Stephen looked at her and shook his head.
"The creature was a draeger, not a dragon, Princess Elisan, and I didn't kill her. Her goddess did."
He smiled and bowed his head to the princess.
"Even filled with Arendar's presence, I'm not foolish enough to attack even a baby dragon."
"Are you sure about that?"
King Taravan asked. Stephen bowed deeply.
"Yes, Your Majesty, I am certain. I may occasionally play the fool, but nobody is that foolish."
King Kaelin sat forward and shook his head.
"We can't send you anywhere, can we?"
Stephen looked up at his adoptive father and shook his head.
"I guess not, Your Majesty, and begging your pardon, where is the rest of the family?"
"In Marina's suite. She's been in labor all day."
Stephen blurted,
"What?"
as he stood and stepped toward the dais. King Kaelin laughed, as did King Taravan.
"You didn't think this was just for you, did you?"
King Kaelin asked, as he waved a hand at the crowd.
"We only heard you were back 2 spans ago."
Princess Elisan shook her head and commanded,
"Go get cleaned up, Stevie. You're not touching your new niece smelling like that."
Stephen looked at her, then ran up the steps of the dais and clasped her in a tight embrace.
"Smelling like what?"
Princess Elisan was leaning back, away from Stephen, and her hands were out to the sides like she wanted to push him back, but was afraid to touch him.
"Like a horse's ass. You horrible horse's ass."
Stephen let go and ran to his suite, laughing all the way. Avrin spent 9 spans on Stephen before he was satisfied with his charge's appearance. The clothes he'd left behind still fit, but Stephen had the gold-on-gold outfit from Aniston retrieved and spruced up for the occasion. Once Avrin would let him out of the suite, he went to Mark and Mary's suite. He was met at the door by Darwin.
"Sorry, Uncle Carl made me do it."
Stephen shook his head as he muttered,
"His sense of humor will be the death of me yet."
Darwin chuckled.
"All of the young princes and princesses are in the royal nursery with Serena. Karvik's brood is there as well. That woman is amazing."
"Shari?"
"And Sora are in with Marina. So is Glora."
"So what are we going to do?"
"Join the rest of the family worrying about things we cannot change."
Darwin led the way back to the court, but by the royal entrance this time. He found his kings engaged in a game of flipstones while the expectant father watched, chewing on a fingernail. King Kaelin didn't look up as he said,
"Find a seat, Stephen. The midwife says it'll be a while."
He said,
"Yes, sir,"
then went to Markarl's side.
"How are you, Mark?"
"I've been through this before. I know I've been through this before. So why do I feel like I've never been through this before?"
Stephen didn't laugh. He remembered the birth of the twins far too well.
"She'll be fine. They'll be fine. You need to settle down and try to rest. Mary is going to need you soon."
Markle nodded and sat in his throne. He muttered,
I feel so useless.
Stavin patted his shoulder and walked over to the king's. With your permission, your majesty, I would like to tell the court the truth about this summer.
Go ahead, Stephen,
King Kaelin said, without looking away from the game.
I'd like to hear it as well.
Stavin walked to the edge of the dais, and the room went silent with expectation.
My noble lords and ladies, this is the truth about my trade mission to the other kingdoms.
He told the story straight, with no omissions or exaggerations. It took 7 spans of nearly continuous talking to tell it all.
And that is the truth, no matter what lies you've heard from the minstrels.
The room erupted in shouted questions, but Stavin just bowed and turned away. He found Princess Elisanne sitting in Marina's throne, gazing at him in rapt attention.
So, Stavin, why is it that while you were out on your way home from Rhi, the Renadian ambassador came to us with a proposal of marriage from Prince Darren on the day after the 20th anniversary of my birth?
You'll like him and the Renadian royal family, Ellie. He's less than a year older than you, and, if the maids are to be trusted, he's cute.
We'll see. I asked him to come visit next summer. If we agree to a betrothal, you'll have to come and relinquish your place as my heir.
Speaking of which, King Taravan said, Ellie is now officially my heir. You're no longer next in line to the throne.
Stavin turned and bowed.
Yes, your majesty. You'll pardon my saying it, but thank the gods above.
Princess Rohana was born just after the midnight bells rang through the city. Kaelin led the extended royal family to the princess's suite. Markal held his daughter and presented her to her family.
King Kaelin, King Taravan, I am proud to present Princess Rohana Carissa Karanis Zelandral of Evandia.
Stavin waited his turn, but didn't take the baby from Elisanne's arms. That feeling was upon him again, and he laid just one finger on her forehead as someone spoke through him to say,
Let the light of Arendar the Bright shield this child from evil, and let the love of the gods above fill her soul.
Kaelin said,
I thought you weren't going to do that.
Stavin shook his head.
I didn't.
We just saw you do it, Stavin,
King Taravan said as he glared down at Stavin.
That was my finger and voice, but I was not in control. Princess Rue was just blessed by Arendar himself.
Both kings looked stunned, and Kaelin said,
Stavin!
I don't think it's like what he did to me. I think the greatest of the gods above just marked Rohana as one of his own.
3 days later, Stavin took his escort to the Temple Road and walked into the ancient temple of Arendar the Bright. Karvik and Shari were with him, and he stopped just inside the entrance.
Gods be...
Shari clapped her hand across his mouth.
Don't you dare, Stavie, not in here.
Stavin nodded and she let go.
You're right, but look at this place. It'll take 20 workmen all winter to repair all this damage.
Good thing you're rich,
Karvik murmured. Stavin had to chuckle.
Yes, it's a good thing I'm rich.
They turned around and found the street behind them filled with people. The royal guards immediately formed a wall of flesh and steel to protect Stavin and Shari. At first, Stavin was concerned, but then he saw a familiar face in the front.
Let me through,
he instructed, pushing between his guards to reach the crowd. When he reached the woman, he nodded and said,
Madam Elaine, how may I help you?
Elaine fell Karvin the 16th, went to her knees, and the entire crowd followed her example.
Prince Stavin, my mother knew and valued you as a friend. It is I and my followers who wish to help you.
Stavin nodded and said,
Please stand, Madam Elaine.
He raised his voice and said,
All of you stand. Let Arendar's light touch your faces.
Turning his attention back to Elaine, he said,
Madam Elaine, I am in need of honest workmen to repair Arendar's temple and the temple of the other gods as well.
Madame Elaine had a startled expression on her face as she looked over her shoulder at the far side of the street.
"Even them, Prince Stephen?"
Stephen smiled, but it was Shari who answered.
"Elaine, it is Stephen's belief that all 10 gods influence all of us. To deny any of them is to deny our own natures."
Stephen nodded and added,
"We're not going to overdo it on those temples, though." "As you wish, Prince Stephen,"
Madame Elaine said, with just a hint of humour in her eyes.
"I will pay a fair wage to the workers and craftsmen," Stephen said in a voice loud enough to be heard down the road.
Looking at Elaine, he smiled.
"And for you as well. I know you run this part of the city."
Madame Elaine drew herself up to her full height and bowed.
"I'll not personally take a spark from you, Prince Stephen. You are the only royal who has ever treated us with any respect. You and your lovely wife."
She paused and smiled at Shari.
"If you will give me a time, I will bring the leaders of 6 good work crews to speak to you and bargain on a price that will be fair for all involved."
Stephen bowed his head slightly.
"The day after tomorrow is the next day the council doesn't meet. Have them assess what the job will entail, then bring them to the palace at mid-morning. Then I'll show you what I've learned about bargaining."
Madame Elaine bowed deeply, as did everyone on the street. Then she led them away.
"Prince Stephen,"
one of the guardsmen murmured.
"You know that woman?"
"Her mother and I were friends,"
Stephen replied without looking,
"and her daughter has complete control of the Kalaniston trading house in Evandia."
Turning to look up at the man, he tilted his head to the side.
"Without Madame Elaine's help, her mother, not that one, I wouldn't have been there to save King Caelan that first time, and it was the elder Madame Elaine who warned me about that attack on the palace."
Turning to grin up at Carvick, he quipped,
"You know, in their own way, the Felcarvins are as loyal to Evandia as anyone."
"Oh, gods above, Steve," Carvick laughed. "Don't let her hear you say that."
King Caelan called his council to order and stood to speak before anyone could say anything. Stephen and Shari were back in their seats as Minister of Trade and Assistant, and he stared at them in silence for a moment, then shook his head.
"The first order of business is trade. Late yesterday, Prince Stephen came to me and requested permission to resign as Minister of Trade."
There was a sound of shocked negation from several of the ministers, but several others were nodding in satisfaction. King Caelan let them react for a moment before continuing.
"I have agreed to his request. The latest change in Stephen's fate has caused far too much turmoil. Therefore, as of tomorrow, Master Trader Zelkardim will be taking his place."
"Your Majesty, what will Prince Stephen be doing instead?"
"That will be up to him,"
the king replied with a smile for his son.
"Given his record of accomplishments, I'm sure he'll find something to keep himself busy."
Stephen stood and bowed to the king.
"Your Majesty, Shari and I thank you. Arendar's blessing has become an impediment to my ability to negotiate. Everyone keeps collapsing and just agreeing to anything I propose. That is not good for trade, and it is not good for Evandia."
Shari stood and put her arm around Stephen's shoulders.
"Rest assured, we will not be idle. I don't think either of us could ever stay idle for long."
She smiled at Caelan and Markle. Markle stood and bowed his head.
"Whatever the gods have in store for Stephen, I'm sure it is not sitting idle as the world passes him by."
Afterward. The winter passed quickly for Stephen and Shari. Every fifth day they went to the temples and checked the workmen's progress. Madame Elaine's influence had the workmen giving the project a little more effort than they might have otherwise done, but Stephen simply nodded as he surveyed how much they'd completed. Because he'd decided to refurbish all 10 temples, he was employing over 1,000 workers, men and women alike, though he'd objected to the age of some of them on his first visit.
"Why are there children here?"
he'd asked the leader of one of the work crews.
"Don't worry, Prince Stephen. They're not getting but a fifth of the pay we're giving their parents."
"That's not what I mean," Stephen said as he looked at the man. "Why aren't they in school?"
"School, Prince Stephen? These are the children of common clan workers, not chosen."
Stephen clenched his teeth in anger, but didn't say anything else. He knew that one spark every 5 days would help those children's families. It was more than they earned out on the farms around Twin Bridges during the warm months, but Scribe Stephen couldn't help feeling that these children should be in school. On their second visit, he and Shari did something about it. Stephen arrived in a large carriage with Shari and their servants. The temples were all progressing nicely, but none of them were complete enough for what he had planned, except the memorial to Mary Death. Shalamis Zelfordan met them on the steps and bowed.
"Prince Stephen, the chairs and braziers are arranged as you requested."
"Thank you, Shalamis,"
Shari said as she led Sindal past.
"This will do nicely," she murmured as she surveyed the temple.
Shalamis asked,
"What are you up to?"
in a suspicious tone. Shari laughed.
"Going back to our roots. We're going to teach school."
"And here?"
Shalamis asked in a stunned whisper.
"Well, we're starting with history, and the legend of Mary Death is as good a place to start as any."
Shalamis looked around. There were 37 chairs arranged in a semicircle around several braziers.
"But who are you going to teach?"
she demanded in an exasperated tone. Stephen and Shari laughed and walked out, only to return a short time later with a gaggle of children behind them. Children dressed in warm, working clothes. Shari laughed at the expression on Shalamis's face.
"We're teaching the children of our workers. We're teaching the future of Twin Bridges."
This concludes Gods Above and Below by Lauren K. Jones, narrated by Anthony Ferguson. Copyright 2017 by Lauren K. Jones. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Lauren K. Jones and was produced in the year 2018 by Tantor Media Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright thereto. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.